I am so grateful that when I made decorating mistakes, that instead of just like crying and hating myself for it, I said, okay, well, what'd I learn? Well, guess what? I learned that I'm kind of a neutral girl. Or guess what? I learned that I like a sofa that is a timeless shape. And it really helped me for the rest of my life. If I looked at it as what can I learn from, it helped me to be able to move forward.
My name is Lisa, mother of 8 and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch cooking and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way.
Welcome back to the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. Today we are talking with Michaelyn from The Nester all about home decor, simplifying your home decor, how to make decisions without being super paralyzed by all of the different options out there, with a certain level of confidence that we can enjoy our homes, love our homes, even if we aren't interior designers, even if we feel like we aren't skilled in that way. I think that you're going to really find this episode very encouraging. Well, thank you so much, Michaelyn, for joining us. I'm so excited to hear about your book, your new book, your podcast. We're going to talk about decorating our home, creating beauty in our home, and making those decisions with confidence. This, even though I feel like I've been at this for 16 years, making a home, trying to make my home beautiful on a budget with lots of DIY projects, you know, some old, some new, still there are those moments where I feel like I'm too nervous to invest in something thinking, will this work? This could be another thing that ends up in the Goodwill pile. So anyways, I think that we can all relate to this. So yeah, tell us first a little bit about yourself, your book, your podcast, or whatever else you want to share.
Oh, well, thank you. Thanks for having me here today. I just love what you do and the hospitality that you create on the internet. And I've been online talking about home for 17 years. I see the world through house colored glasses, honestly, and I just love all things home. My husband and I have been married 30 years. We've moved 15 times. So this is our 15th home that we're in right now. We have three boys who are grown, but our oldest two just moved back when we moved here a year and a half ago so they could start a business together. So they're at home and our youngest is in college. So he'll be home for the summer and then moving out. So it kind of feels like old times to have all of our three boys under one roof, which I love. But I believe that every home has a silver lining. I love talking about home, hospitality, imperfection, and I just have yet to tire of it. So I have a podcast. I have a private community. I talk about home on Instagram. Just can't get enough.
Yeah. You're one of the original home people here on the internet. One of the original home bloggers. I remember your name, like The Nester, I have heard of that for so many years. So yeah, that makes sense now that you've been doing this for 17 years. What's the story with moving 15 times? Is there a reason? Was it jobs or what's the...
I wish there was like really cool, great story about it. Like we're in the military. My husband is an entrepreneur and he's a visionary. And, you know, we got married and then he finished school and I finished school and then he got a job. And, you know, when we would move to a new area, we would always rent first because we did get burnt once. Like, oh, let's move to a new area and buy a house. Regretted that. That was a big learning process there. So when we move, we now rent. And then from there, we will, you know, decide to purchase. But yeah, it seems like a lot. I have a hard time remembering my zip code at times. But yeah. I'll tell you, at the time, I cursed it. Like I hated having to move so much. But now with what I do, it was just the best design school I could have asked for. Yes. It was a really good education in setting up home quickly.
Yeah. And there are so many different scenarios with every house, whether it's where it's located, whether it's in the city or the country, if it's old, if it's new, there's all these unique challenges, but then also unique ways that it's better. Have you had every kind of home I possibly could describe at this point?
You know, I'm sure we haven't, but you're exactly right. Like, I think we sometimes think that setting up a house is just, it's just what I like and my personal style or, you know, our family style, but it's not. It's your style Plus, the house gets a say, whether we want to admit it or not. Like, I think you live in a Victoria now. We live in a Victoria now. And she's kind of bossy. You know, she has her own way. And the stuff that worked in my 1980s farmhouse, a lot of it works here, but some of it doesn't. And I now think that's the fun part, kind of like getting to know the house and together figuring out our style and what works best in the house.
Yeah. I found that out. So we've already been here for 5 years, but I found that out whenever we moved from our 1920s Craftsman to our 1860s Victorian. I thought, okay, well, I've already figured out what I like. I already bought all the stuff, did all the, you know, colors, and I figured out the kind of furniture I like. We're just going to put this into this house and then it's going to be done. Like, we're going to move in and it's going to be done. And I realized really quickly that it did not go at all. And I still am figuring it out. Like, I still feel like I don't really totally know. But with moving so much, do you feel like you come into a new house with a sense of confidence? Like, okay, I know just what needs to go in here. I can set this home up and it could look nice. And it's not this like 5-10 year problem. I mean, you don't have 5 or 10 years. Like, you have to get it comfortable in a very short amount of time.
I had to earn the confidence, but I will tell you, when I move, what I do have is a sense of purpose and a mission, because I have had times where we've moved into a house and we've been there for 9 months and I still have art stacked behind the sofa and colors taped to the wall, or, you know, it's a rental and I just don't have quite things unpacked yet. And guess what? We're going to be moving in 3 more months. And it was after a couple times of that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, my kid's childhood is just transient. Why am I keep waiting on my next house? So definitely moving a lot has taught me just to go ahead and set it up, to go ahead and figure it out, like put the art, make the nail hole, whatever it is, just try something to get movement and to see progress. And I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah, because you don't always want to feel like you're in a temporary situation. Like, you want to feel like you're just living your life in your comfort zone, not like you're always in transition to the next thing. And I kind of understand that feeling, even though we've only lived in two houses. But whenever you get your mindset on something else, it's like, okay, well, now it's that, even though it's years before we're going to end up in that. So what are some of the things that you do right away when you get into a new home? I feel like you're very qualified for this, since you said you've moved so many times. You're obviously an expert in setting up a home to make it quickly feel like home, a comfortable place, even if it's like fast.
A couple things, you know, obviously you get the kids' beds set up and their sheets and like all their special, their little lamps and their nightstands and their little areas. Of course, my kids are men now, so they don't need quite as much help with that.
Right.
But lamps next to the bed is number one. But I always try to create what I call one sane space. Usually it's wherever the family is going to gather the most. And I try to make it feel as cozy as possible. Even if, like, oh, we're going to have it painted in a few weeks, that's fine. I've found it's still worth it to, you know, roll out the rug, to put out the sofas, to plug in the lamps and put some side tables in. Wherever the people before us had stuff on the walls, I would just go ahead and put some stuff out, not in maybe every room of the house, but to create one private atmosphere. I did this even when we were in a fixer-upper with like plastic walls. It just created like a little sense of home, a little sense of normalcy that felt good. So I definitely think it's worth it to do that.
Yeah, I can see how it'd be a little bit of a wrestling with like, is this worth it? Because we're going to be moving so soon. Now, with all of your moves, did you know you're going to, or did you think like, I'm going to sink my teeth into this, we're going to be here a long time? Or was it always like, okay, I'm going to set this up, we're going to love this house for the next 2 years, you know, no matter what, even if we're going to be moving on?
It was a little of both. Okay. I would say half and half, which is, yeah. I don't know which is better or worse, honestly, Lisa. I think it's hard to know that you're going to be moving soon. And it's really hard. Like, we had one time, we were in a rental home and we had lived there 6 months, and the sheriff came to the door and handed me foreclosure papers. And I'm like, I don't even own this house. We've just been paying our rent. And the house was getting foreclosed on. We had to move again. So that's hard. I mean, that was the time where I was like, okay, that's it. We're moving to another rental for a few years and I'm setting it up. I don't care what, we're switching out lighting.
Right.
We're doing this because why do I keep waiting and putting it off?
Yeah.
Taking a quick break to tell you about an awesome podcast sponsor, Cozy Earth. I have been sleeping in my Cozy Earth bamboo pajamas every single night. I put them in the washer and dry them so that they're ready again, because I cannot wait to go to bed in them. They are just so comfortable. Cozy Earth is offering Simple Farmhouse Life listeners 35% off your order with the code FARMHOUSE. Cozy Earth offers bedding products that will transform your sleep. Currently, I wake up 4 or 5 times every night to nurse the baby, and so it's important to me that I have a comfortable bed to get back into to fall asleep more quickly because my sleep can be so interrupted. Cozy Earth bedding is temperature regulating and it has superior softness. All products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. Incorporating Cozy Earth products into your self-care routine can enhance your sleep quality and overall wellness. Treat yourself to the ultimate in comfort and indulgence with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear and prioritize your self-care and sleep. You can head on over to CozyEarth.com and use the code FARMHOUSE for an exclusive 35% off. Go get your mom the luxury she deserves at CozyEarth.com with the promo code FARMHOUSE.
I take great care in my home to source products that are healthy, natural, organic, that will promote overall health. Alongside cooking from scratch, there are some foundational things like clean water and clean air that are as important as any of these other things. Americans take about 20,000 breaths per day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. My kids, they spend a ton of time outside, but I spend a lot of time inside cooking. I try to keep the window open, but still, the indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. Indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So what is the solution for this? I want to tell you about this podcast sponsor, Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. We have an indoor cat, we have pollen, and who knows what else around our house. So this just gives me peace of mind knowing that running Air Doctor will get rid of 99.99% of dangerous contaminants. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code FARMHOUSE and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code FARMHOUSE.
Okay, so one thing you talk about that you help people with is making decisions in decorating. Why do you think decorating our homes feels so hard for a lot of us who aren't experts, who don't do this for a living?
I think for a couple of reasons. I think that there is some type of myth that we think that there are people who were born with a decorating gene, which is completely false. You know, decorating is a skill that you can learn, and the people that are professionals at it went to school for it or have been practicing for years. I know for me personally, like I was decorating Barbie houses while my kids was doing, you know, my sister was doing like dramatic Barbie stories. I was playing with their furniture. I was moving furniture around in my bedroom at 15. So I got to learn the universal decorating truths before I could be embarrassed, before I was buying the wrong sofa, just kind of experimenting. But I also think we've been taught that decorating is supposed to be fun. So we think that if we're not having fun or that if we make a mistake, that we did it wrong. And so I don't know. I think sometimes there's some secret guilt or shame that can come with it. If we maybe put ourselves out there and took a risk and it didn't turn out, it can feel embarrassing or like we don't know what we're doing. And I would say that home is the best place in the world to take a risk. And so maybe start smaller, take a baby step. I like to say you can't ruin something you already hate. So instead of like going out and buying a new sofa or, you know, painting a big fabulous buffet that was handed down in your family, like maybe just go to the thrift store and find a $5 table and start by painting that and see how it turns out and build your confidence that way.
Yeah. One thing that I've noticed in the last few years is that I've gotten better at not taking my house so seriously, like just thinking, okay, would this color work? Would this color work? And then just thinking about it all the time instead of just putting it up there. And then in a year from now, maybe putting up a different color or putting a furniture piece in an unexpected place, or like just moving things around. Like when we first moved into our home, we had a living room, a dining room, and that's what it was supposed to be. Living room, dining room, kitchen. But then we realized over time, like, well, we need more bedrooms. We don't need this extra living space. We need bedrooms. And so we moved our bed into what would be the living room, and just like not taking it so seriously, making it work for you. If you like a certain color, put it up there. Maybe you can change it. Like, do you find that sometimes people really overthink things because they think of their house as something like you said, put in that nail hole. Don't worry about it. Like, it's not that serious, right?
I do. I think a couple of things from that. First of all, I think that we can feel like if our circumstances aren't perfect, like we can't move forward. And I love that you started by just evaluating your spaces and saying, oh, well, how can you kind of, one of the house rules is ignore the builder. Like, well, they said this was a dining room, but we need to use our home to the fullest. Right. And I think that's how you define if you're doing home right. Like, are you using it, enjoying it? If so, you don't need me. Like, you are doing it perfectly if that is the case. But I also want to say that sometimes it's those weird, quirky limitations that we have in our home that lead to the most creative, unique spaces. Like if you flip through Better Homes and Gardens, a lot of times they'll do a little feature on this weird little cozy nook under the stairs or something. And I guarantee you, I think a lot of times, probably when the person moved in that house, they thought, what in the world are we going to do with that? Like, that is so weird. And then they took their time, they got creative, and they turned it into something amazing. And so if we can just flip our mindset to see like those weird things about our home that sometimes we wish away, could we turn those into something really special?
Yeah. What has been like your most challenging home out of the 15 homes to decorate and make? I'm sure there's been lots of things in every house. There's always compromises. There's always things that you're like, yeah, I wish it wasn't this, but we got this. What's been like the worst one that you're like, there's no way I can make this house cute and work for us?
Our last house was really challenging because it was small and didn't have a lot of walls. I know that sounds crazy, but we had to have some pieces custom made.
I like walls. Where do you put the furniture?
Walls are helpful.
That's way harder.
So it's hard to place all your furniture, like just floating. And I know that sounds crazy, but having an open concept, I do think is a little trickier than having walls. We live in an older house now with walls.
I agree.
And that is so helpful. But I think, again, those challenges, they really forced me to get creative and think outside the box. And so it helped me learn. It helped me relate to people better that have that. It helped me kind of have to think about and pay attention to how our family, where do we need to walk in our house? You know, how do we need to use it? Maybe there was a time where we had a love seat in front of the hearth, in front of the fireplace, and that worked really well for us. Although that might not be something that everyone does. You know, your house is talking to you. And a lot of times I think the way our house is talking to us is in those weird things that we're like so frustrated with. You know, where are we going to put the backpacks when the kids come home and drop them? Or why am I always moving the ottoman over 3 feet? Like, that's actually your house talking to you and saying, hey, maybe you should just have the ottoman here. Or hey, maybe you need to provide a drop zone for, you know, the kids or whatever it is. And so now I see those as opportunities of, oh, that would be a fun challenge to get to create something. Doesn't mean I had to build some DIY cool cubby from scratch. That would be awesome. But maybe it just means I move that, you know, weird piece of furniture from the garage in and repurpose it and put all the backpacks in there.
Yeah, it totally does matter your family, what stage you're currently in, how you're using the home. There are these things that like come up whenever you use a space that you'll see a problem and then creatively thinking about how to fix it instead of just thinking, this is my house. Like one example I have of this, you were talking about open concept. My parents, they live in an extremely open concept. Like it's just really tall, all open. And my mom kind of was thinking like, man, I wish I would have this or this. And so my sisters and I, we started looking at everything and we thought of a few solutions on how to like set up different things. And so like we're working through this house and we're making changes throughout the house. And suddenly she's like, oh, I love this. Like this is the same home. Like one example real quick is they have this really tall wall or ceiling and wall. And my dad, he hunts. And so there was these mounts and like, you know, elk and deer. And it felt like I just couldn't put my finger on it, but it felt like they were just floating. And so finally I thought of the idea of like, well, you should put a piece of trim and just paint from the trim down that will anchor those animals, and you can put like a gallery wall on the colored part. And it just worked so well. Like, it took a space that we thought, I don't know how I'm going to do this, to like, this actually looks really good, you know, same house.
I love that. And I think all you did was follow the universal decorating truth that everything in your room is in a relationship with each other. And so you gave that, those pieces of art, those taxidermy mounts that were floating, you gave them a partner to be in relationship with. And I love that. I think that's such a great solution.
Yeah. And it's so cheap. Like, it was literally just a half a gallon of paint or whatever. Yeah. Just like a small amount of paint, a piece of trim, and it just changed the whole thing. But it just took like thinking, okay, there's a problem here. I don't exactly know what it is, but there is a problem. And just thinking it through. And I think that's where we need to try stuff. And let's say that that didn't work, like coming back to this fear that we all have in our homes. What if it hadn't worked? Well, it would just paint back over it. You know, there's really not a huge problem there. So what other kind of things do you encourage people to do? Say they're renting, like you've done a lot of renting, or they're in a temporary situation, to love their homes without being afraid that they're going to mess anything up or that it's going to be too costly of a mistake. Are there some like,
yes.
I mean, obviously paint's good, but what other kind of things? You talked about rearranging.
Well, I definitely think that home should be the safest place on earth for us to take a risk. And so if we can get over that hump, that just changes our mindset and allows us to do those few little things. You know, when I was in a rental, I remember feeling like I couldn't paint the walls. I didn't like the carpet. And those two things felt really restricting. And so a couple of things that helped me with that was just, okay, if I can't paint the walls, how else can I bring color in? And so I would put down rugs. I would buy rugs and colors or pattern that I liked. And that helped cozy up the room. Like, a rug can really play a lot of roles. If a room is echoey, it can make it feel cozier. It can make it feel warmer. If you like pattern, pattern actually fills a room. So if you have a vast, or like you were saying, a two-story space, if you add pattern, like if you feel like a room feels vast, pattern can actually visually fill it up. The opposite is true if you have a small space and it feels cluttered and you feel like this, I've decluttered all I can. Sometimes just neutralizing a pattern and making a solid pattern or like a solid fabric can do the opposite. So keeping that in mind, adding large scale art, when we use things with scale, we naturally read that as having risk or style. I think I used to rely on lots of tiny little art because I thought I was being like protecting the family budget, which I totally respect. But I found that I was actually wasting money because I was buying lots of small things and then I didn't like how they looked together. And if I would have just used a little bit of that money and invested in something larger, I mean, even something I do here in my own house that's even on the cover of my book is just an old canvas that I had forever that I just, you know, dotted and spilled paint on and did some weird art strokes. So it's kind of modern looking if you're into that. But I used leftover paint colors that we all have left over from our walls. And so now it created this large kind of interesting textured piece of art that you can layer a vase and a branch from your yard over. And it just reads as something impactful just because it's big. So sometimes if you're feeling like, oh, I have no control, if you can bring in something powerful, either with scale or with pattern or with color, it's going to give you such a jolt of like, oh, that made a change. That feels good.
Yeah. And sometimes I say, put something in as a placeholder. So if you think you want, like, maybe you want to put the couch here and you also think it'd be better if you had a different kind of couch, well, maybe move your current couch, live with it. Like you said, let's say you're not like super artsy, but you make some kind of statement art piece, put it up there and think, you know what? I love the scale of that. I'm going to search maybe for something that I like better in that exact scale, or maybe like just redo like a big print. Like, we've gotten, frames at antique shops, like big frames. And then I just get a design off Etsy, put it in Canva and make it that size. But putting something in, I think, as a placeholder sometimes really helps just to see if you first like that. Like, for example, let's say you think I want a certain color couch, maybe like drape the drop cloth or something over it to kind of give it that effect before fully tailoring something. There's a lot of things that you could do, or like bring like another piece of furniture that would sort of act like that. Like, say That furniture belongs in a different space in your house, but you think a chair would look good here. Bring a chair down, live with it for a while. You'll put it back, but just then see, okay, now I can invest in maybe that size chair so I don't make a mistake. You know, has there ever been any mistakes you've made that have been like so terrible that you've really regretted that we should all be cautious of?
I've made all the mistakes. And none of them have been so terrible that it's the end of the world because it's decorated.
Yes.
Exactly. I moved in this house and painted, this is my office. I painted it a color and hated it instantly. Right. 20 years ago or 30 years ago, bought a sofa and hated it the day it was delivered. But, you know, the dude bros will say, well, you either win or learn, but Lisa, it's true. And I am so grateful that when I made decorating mistakes, that instead of just like crying and hating myself for it, I said, okay, well, what'd I learn? Well, guess what? I learned that I'm kind of a neutral girl. Or guess what? I learned that I like a sofa that is a timeless shape. And it really helped me for the rest of my life. If I looked at it as what can I learn from, it helped me to be able to move forward. And even, you know, what you were saying about shopping your house, decorating does not start in the furniture store. It starts with what you have. And I think a lot of times we forget that, you know, try your different pieces in different areas. If, like you said, if you have a dining room table and you're wondering, oh, I wonder if a pair of upholstered chairs would look good there. You don't go buy a pair of upholstered chairs. You pull in two upholstered chairs and then you evaluate. You say, oh, I like how tall those are. Or, oh, those are too dark. We need something bright there. So the stuff you have actually is useful to inform you of making better decisions for the future stuff you need. Even my desk right now that I'm working at, I had a circular like dining room table for a desk for a long time and decided that it in this office, it wasn't working. I wanted a desk against the wall, which I have not had in a while. So instead of just, let me Google search, get desks for sale, which I did. I looked on Facebook Marketplace and on Wayfair, but before I invested, I thought which is one of the house rules, I'm going to test it before I invest in it. And I found a fold up table that we had and I got a linen sheet and I thought this will be great because then I can, first of all, even know if I like working at a table against the wall, because I've worked in the middle of the room for a long time. And it will also help me know, is the height right? Is the width right? Is it too big or too little? Well, guess what? I love working at a fold-up table with a sheet over it. It's actually perfect. And, you know, one day I may actually upgrade, but this temporary fix has been something that I like using. The sheet is great because, you know, we have all of our podcasting gear and like wires and stuff. I have a little cart and I just lift up the sheet and I roll it under there and all that wires you don't even see. Yeah. And it feels very welcoming. Yeah, yeah. Like my last table was a cold marble and I always was like, burr. And now it's like a cozy warm fabric on a desk. It's just very inviting. And I never would have thought that my temporary fix would have been, I was just doing it to see like what you suggested, but it ended up that I even liked it. So it worked out even better.
You actually, yeah. Yeah. I think sometimes we think the solution to everything is to just go buy something like, okay, it's spring. I need to go buy spring pillows and fake flowers and, you know, all these things. And a lot of times it's not like usually the best decorating things, like you said, you might put something either temporarily or just move things around. And then that opens up your eyes to, you know, that works better for us as opposed to just like, let's add more stuff and make this place, you know, like springy. I don't know. I think we do. We tend to think, and I fall into this sometimes too, like if I just buy something, you know, this will be better.
Yes.
Taking a quick break to tell you about today's podcast sponsor, Toups & Co. Toups & Co. is a small family business made in the USA that makes amazing organic natural skincare. I especially love the cleansers and the moisturizers. They have a tallow balm that really moisturizes my skin. I use that throughout the day whenever it's winter and I'm feeling a little bit dry. Also really been loving the combination of the sea buckthorn cleansing oil, the charcoal bar, the toner, and the glow serum. I do that all at night. And then in the morning, my face feels fresh and ready to also apply Toups & Co. makeup, which I have been loving. All of the ingredients are clean. You don't have to worry about any of those ingredients that you find on lists that should never go on your body that go through your skin, actually make their way in. That's why I have been on the quest to find a good organic skincare for so long. I even tried making my own for a while and I've never been as happy with the results until I found Tubes & Co. I have my whole family hooked on them. We all love the foundation. I'm personally a huge fan of the mascara, the eyebrow pencil, the blush. I do my whole face in Tubes & Co. now, and I love it. Tubes & Co. is offering Simple Farmhouse Life listeners 10% off your order over at tubesandco.com with the code FARMHOUSE. So that's the code FARMHOUSE over at TOUPSandCo.com to get 10% off your order. Again, thanks so much to Tubes & Co. for sponsoring this episode.
I'll tell you, I had an epiphany about 15 years ago because we had moved into a fixer-upper and I had put all my decor around. I sat down on the sofa and I was just like, I don't like it. It just doesn't feel right. And so I opened up my computer and look at my Pinterest board. I had made a Pinterest board for my family room. And I looked at some of the rooms. I'm like, okay, what's missing? What is it that I need to buy to make my house look like theirs? I mean, that was my mindset. It was like, I'm missing something and I'm willing to pay whatever it costs. I'm going to go buy it.
Right.
And I look at their rooms and I look up at mine. And suddenly it hit me. I was like, these rooms, I counted the items, which I don't think anyone needs to count items, but it worked in this moment. I counted the items in a couple of the rooms I liked. They had like 18 items. I looked up at my own room. I'm not lying. And this was just like on one side that I could see. I had 43 items. I had little tchotchkes lined up and two small art in a, you know, mismatched accidental gallery wall and a rug too small. And it looked too small. So I added another rug on top of it. And I was layering and I was like kind of making up for things not being quite right. And it made me feel crazy because my room was chaotic because I had not chosen anything on purpose. I had just kind of added little trinkets and doodads over time. And I realized that all the rooms I liked, not only did they have less stuff, but everything they had, you know, if everything in your room, say, has a visual voice, the more stuff you add, the louder it is. And I had this loud, chaotic room that felt crazy. And I realized then, like, it's not actually something I needed to buy. I needed to edit. I needed to get rid of some things. And then I needed to get the right size of other things. And there were three things. Specifically, one was a rug. There's something about a big rug that can bring a room together. Whether you have carpet or wood floors, it feels cozy. It takes up this much space and it doesn't take up any room on your surfaces, those precious surfaces that we need to use. We need them to work for us. The other thing is window treatments or drapes. If you need a room to be cozier, if you want color or pattern or texture, on the windows, again, you're adding softness to the walls. You're filling up that hard space. You're not taking up surface space. I just think, you know, I call myself a cozy minimalist. I'm with the most amount of style with the least amount of stuff. And drapes are like one of the best things to get a cozy minimalist home. And that last thing that I noticed in a lot of these homes were if they had overhead lighting, a lot of times they were beautiful statement pieces, like a beautiful chandelier, you know, and I had like a ceiling fan or something. And they had big, beautiful lamps with their bases kind of, they weren't like see-through little dorm lamps. They were substantial. They had presence. They were big. They matched the size of the sofa. Like they felt right together. And that's what changed everything for me.
Yeah, that makes sense. So many times, I think you're right. The thing we don't like about our space is actually how much is in it, not so much what's not in it. And that's actually a profound thing because it costs nothing. And I talk about decluttering a ton on here because that is what has, as a mom of eight, like I'm only able to keep track of things and like keep make it to where my home doesn't overwhelm me by editing. So this works, you know, whether it's for decor or just for keeping everything in order. I think that's a really, really good point. Now you were talking about going on Pinterest. You kind of, you know, figured out what it was that you were attracted to and studying that. Is that how you recommend someone finds their own personal style, or where do you help someone, or how do they find what their own? Because we all have different things that we're attracted to.
Yes. Well, and I think finding your style is so fun. You know, I know when I was in high school, we would take quizzes and things like that. But I will say, I believe that you don't have to name your style in order to attain your style. I think really decorating is about making decisions in the right order, choosing things you love in the right order. Now, do I still want some visual representations of what I love? Yes. And so, yes, I do that. I go to Pinterest, and for every room in my house, I will make a specific Pinterest board. And, you know, I don't tell myself like, well, I only have 8-foot ceilings, so I'm only going to pin rooms with 8-foot ceilings, or I don't have a fireplace, so I'm not going to. No. I just pin rooms that I love when I think about the room that I'm doing. And then I look for commonalities. And you might notice like, oh, there's no drapes on the windows, or there's a lot of neutrals, or there's a lot of pattern. You just kind of can get a sense of maybe where the direction you're headed. It doesn't mean you have to copy that, but then you can evaluate what you have, and it gives you more direction of where you're going, which I think is helpful. You know, I love knowing maybe a name for my style. I know you weren't asking about that, but I think we've kind of been trained that, oh, if we just had the ideal name for our style, that will solve our problems, but it doesn't. We can't go to like the modern farmhouse store and buy everything. Yeah. Style is found in the combinations. And so finding, you know, pairing some of our favorites from years past and a couple things maybe that are on trend and a couple things that have been handed down, like that is what creates our unique style.
So have you found through all the years that you've been decorating that your style has remained pretty consistent? I mean, maybe some tweaks here and there for trends, but for the most part, you've been attracted to similar vibes when it comes to like rooms that you see on Pinterest?
That's such a great question. Yes and no. It depends on the house I'm living in. I think that is what makes the biggest difference. In my last house, I had orangey pine floors. And so a lot of more primitive and rustic stuff looked good there. I moved it into this Victorian with like drippy woodwork and dark wood floors, and it looked awful. They were like in a fight. But that was only, you know, 15% of my stuff. It wasn't everything. So I just had to move away from some of the rusticness. But then I have what I call like my timeless classics. I think that's almost better than learning our style, is like maybe paying attention to what items in your home that, especially if you have moved a few times, what items do you love no matter where you live, no matter what the trends are, no matter what's in style, no matter where you lived, there are probably some pieces that you have always loved. I mean, you're probably thinking of them right now. I have a white dresser and, you know, a Drexel dresser and a wing back chair and some transferware. Those are my timeless classics. And it's helpful when you recognize what yours are. They can give you confidence to make purchases or even to invest in something because you feel like, oh, I'm going to like this for the long haul.
Yeah. For me, I think there's also like a feeling. I have like a feeling associated with my design style, like a certain way that I want like life to feel.
Okay.
Do you find that too?
I think so, but say more words. We want to know what your feeling is. Like, tell us about this.
Okay. So like, I love like a country, like picturing like open windows with like linen and like the front door open and like maybe a chicken walking in and like, maybe we're just going to call this country.
I love
it. But like eggs out. And I do this in whatever house I'm in. I've only been in two houses, but I think no matter what, I would do that because the feeling of like barefoot summer country days is like what is like so exciting for me.
You do that so well, and it perfectly fits your aesthetic. I can see that. I think that's really good to say, what are the feelings that I want to feel? What are the scenes that go in my head? That's beautiful. And you've done that. You've achieved that.
Well, thank you. But yeah, that's what I feel like, no matter what kind of house, even like my house now, I think somebody could take it more in like a fancy direction, but I love that country laid back feeling so much that I've taken it in a little bit of a different direction. Just like the house does inform the decisions, but then there's also just kind of like the I can't describe it either way except a feeling that I whenever I pin images, I'm like, okay, I think it's because I pictured that house like out in the middle of the country. And then some people love city, some people love suburban. And so, you know, your decorating choices might like all inform that like feeling that you're going for.
Yes. I guess if I had to say mine, I don't know that I would do a feeling. I'm not like a feeling girl, but I like combinations. I like unexpectedness. And I think when we moved to this, I had always said like, I'll never live in a Victorian house because they're all haunted and weird and like too much detail. I don't like that.
Yeah.
And they feel a bit formal. So in this house, Yeah. What's fun is it's not exactly my style. So I get to balance that out by doing the opposite. So if she feels formal, I'm like, oh, it's such a great opportunity for me to add a little, I can go a little further in adding playfulness. I can have some big striped fabric and I can have some unexpected taxidermy. And, you know, I have a stuffed fox with sunglasses and it can like handle that because of her level of formality. So I like that juxtaposition. I think I always have kind of liked like, oh, mixing modern with, you know, traditional and a little bit of unexpected that feels, I don't know, whimsical and like, ah, we don't take ourselves too seriously here.
Right. Yeah. Well, so then you have a feeling too there. Like I'm also not like a feeling girl either. I just meant like, I don't know. Like I want it to feel like very country. I don't know. Like I've always liked that.
I love that.
Even through trends, like there might be some trends that I throw in, but like, that's just always, I guess, even whenever we lived in town, like whenever I named my blog Farmhouse on Boone, it was a little quarter acre in town on Boone Street. I still wanted to at least feel like I was out in the country, you know? And so that's kind of, I guess, like how your lifestyle is, you know, all of that will play into your decor.
I love it.
Okay. So what are three things that you believe every room needs? Like if we're starting with maybe we feel like we have no design skills, even though I think, like you said, everybody does to an extent, where to start? What are those three things you got to have?
Well, you're going to think I'm repeating myself, but I'm telling you, believe me, I call it the homey trinity, a large rug that is big enough for at least the front feet of your main seating to be under. Or if you're in a bedroom, you want to be able to get out of either side of your bed, put your toes down on a rug, walk around without getting, you know, in your hot lava of a floor. So rugs that are large enough. Window treatments, try drapes if you've never had them before, hung high and wide. They are magical. They change a room. And I know you know that. I know you have drapes in your house, but something about like when we move in, when I get the drapes up, I'm just like, oh, it feels like home. We're it home. Feels good. And then the third is lamps. I think just underestimating, America needs lamps. We need layered light with a beautiful shade, you know, and of course, reading lamps and all of that, like task lighting, lamps sprinkled, they create this like little pockets of coziness all over your home. And, you know, I know it's getting lighter every day now, so we don't need them quite as much in the evening, but especially in wintertime, it's so great to have all of those lamps.
Yeah, that's how I get through winter, is like just so many lamps throughout my house. As soon as it gets dark at night, we're not flipping on overhead. I mean, my husband does. I'm like, nope, turn that off, turn on the lamp. Like I need it just feels, I know. He's like, I want to see. I'm like, I know, but it's gotta be cozy. And it just feels so much better. Like when I clean the kitchen, it's not like done until I turn on the little chandelier and dim it down a little bit. And then it's like, Luke's like, okay, so that means like you just can't see that it's dirty. I'm like, no, it feels like I've closed the kitchen. We've cleaned it. We're out of here, you know?
Yes. So it's like ambiance. And for anyone listening, if you don't have lamps, if you have a family room without a lamp, you know, go to the attic, bring that lamp down, just try it. Like it will change your life. If you take away one thing, add layers of lamps.
Yes. Yes. I have to agree with that. Okay. Tell me about plant math.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I teach an online community, and so we have lots of Q&A times. And one of the things I've noticed is I feel like there is this sense of, well, I have a black thumb, or the last plant I bought died, so I just do fake plants, or I do no plants. And I just think plants add so much. I mean, it's cliche, but they add life to a room. They truly do. And I think we have plants kind of wrong. Like the goal is not to keep your plant alive forever. Like they are not children. The goal is to enjoy the plant while it's alive. And if you're lucky, you can kind of be a matchmaker and, you know, you and the humidity in your house and how often you water your plant and the plant's needs, you know, try a couple plants out and see what works. So plant math is, if you think about it, you know, next time you're at the grocery store or the home improvement store, grab a $12 plant. And if you can keep your $12 plant alive for 3 months, well, that's $4 a month. That's $1 a week. That's what? A day. Yeah. You know, like we're getting it down to how much you enjoy it per day. You know, if you grab a couple bunches of baby's breath at the grocery store, we only expect those to last a week. And then we're like, oh, we got our money's worth.
But
if we can, if we change our mindset with plants, like, oh, kind of like price per wear for clothing. If you just apply that to plants, like, oh, if I kept a plant alive 3 months, like that was so worth it. And most likely you will keep it alive longer, but it allows us to learn what works. Maybe next time invest in a bigger plant and not feel so bad when a plant dies, and they're all going to die one day.
You know, you're right. I do this too. I think it's because you could have kept it alive. It could have lasted longer. You therefore did not get your money's worth, right? It's like when brands give you free shipping, but then just make you, they like charge more for the item, but you're like, I don't want to waste money. So I need to at least believe that the thing I'm buying is worth more. And I'm not just paying money for you to get it from you to me. And so I think that that's innate in our DNA of like, well, but I could have, that could have lasted for 5 years and it didn't. But you're right. It's so insignificant of an upfront cost. Like, that's so weird that we'll buy like a couple of bags of oranges. The kids blaze through them. You didn't have to have oranges. You could have just ate the food that day and not had dessert, if you will. So like, it just makes no sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do that exact same thing. Like, I feel like buying new plants is a waste of money because I shouldn't have ever let my other plants die.
I know. It's plant guilt, but enjoy your $12 plant. And I bet it might last for, you know, write the date on the bottom. You might be surprised. You're just mad that it died, but what if it lasted 18 months? That's amazing.
I've had some plants for years and I just let one die and I felt so bad about it, but I've had like the other $12 plants for like probably 5 years. So I've really gotten the money's worth on
Look
this.
At that. I can afford
some
more
plants.
That's like a penny a week. That's amazing.
Yes. Okay. So you were talking about your book is like, there's rules. Like that's how you your book is laid out. So tell us a bit more about your book and when it comes out.
Yes.
I believe this episode will be out and your book will be coming out, I think the next day or no, the same day. Your book comes out today. Okay. So tell us about your book, House Rules.
Oh, I would love to. You know, I am not a person who loves rules, believe it or not. I do feel like I am a teacher, though. And, you know, when I was younger, you get your spelling test on Friday, and I used to think, I am horrible at spelling, until a teacher came to me and said, oh, no, you're supposed to learn the spelling words. It's not a test on what you know. You know, I before E, except after C, here's some universal spelling truths. They apply, of course, as we know, whether you're writing a letter to your grandmother or making an Instagram post. It is the same with decorating. There are universal decorating truths that apply to every home, no matter the style or the budget. They just work. It's like the rule of thirds or whatever, you know, all of these different unique rules that help us make confident decorating decisions. And so that is what House Rules is. It's 100 memorable, quirky, contrast is queen if you want to be seen. You can't ruin something you already hate. Helping you, it's more of like a troubleshooting book. If you're in the midst of making decisions and you don't know why it looks off, you can open the book and read a quick couple paragraphs, see a photo of it in action and be like, oh my gosh, that's what I'm doing wrong. And I think it can be so helpful. Of course, the first rule is learn the rules to break the rules.
Right.
There is an Andrew Peterson quote, and he says, you know, he writes for like songwriters and artists. He's a songwriter, but he says in creative work, we have to earn the right to break the rules. And I think it's the same in our home. I think we're allowed to break the rules at all times, but we're more confident to move forward breaking a rule when we understand why the rule's there and we're breaking it on purpose. We're breaking it with confidence. And that's what I want. I want you to know the rules. I want you to break them on purpose because you know the room is going to be better, not because you don't know better.
Yeah. And I like that framework because sometimes it's the endless ideas that kind of makes us paralyzed. Like, I don't even know how to move forward at all because I need maybe a few parameters. And then it's nice too, because you can tailor that to your own personal style. Like there are certain rules that work proportion wise and, you know, all the different numbers and how you space things, no matter if your style is cozy minimalist or country, you know, it applies across the board. So I think that's really cool. Well, tell the listeners where they can find you and where they can find your book.
Oh, thank you. Well, the book is available wherever books are sold. So support your local bookstore if you can. If you purchase it during the week of release, you can go to thenester.com/house rules. And I have some free gifts for you. I brought a camera crew into my house and we walked around. And I told which house rules helped me make every decision. I had to get the house fixed up real quick because I had a year and a half before I took photos for the book. So I had to make like 3 million decisions in a short amount of time. And the house rules came in real handy for that. And I also were giving the audiobook away for free just during the week of release as well. So you can claim those if you order the book. If it sounds like something that would help you, if you are actively making decisions in your home or would like to be, I'm your girl. I want to be there to encourage you. So online, I'm at The Nester. I have a podcast called House Rules. On Instagram, way too much. I just love it. I believe every house has a silver lining. Every house has a lot of potential. And I want you to love your home so that you can use it the way you've always dreamed.
Awesome. Well, that's very encouraging. TheNester.com. Thank you so much, Michaelyn, for joining us. And I know that the listeners will love following along with you.
Oh, thank you so much, Lisa. I love what you do, and it's such an honor to be here.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. Make sure to go check out The Nester and her new book. I know that I personally am loving it as well. As always, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast.